So, Wayne, what kind of surprises do you have for us today to talk about?
I have a great surprise. The way I got started in baseball, well, back when I was about maybe 10 years old, I had an old ball or a rubber ball throwing up against the steps of my house, not my house. I did that, and I didn't know nothing about baseball, and I just, like any other kid at my age, kind of played around the neighborhood, and then there was a ball player who stayed with us, you know. In them days, we had an extra room, and they coached the ball players, and it's bright. They had a kid, you know, they couldn't afford a lot of games. So my grandmother, told somebody in the neighborhood, if anybody needs a room, we'll be happy to rent another room. And we knew we had a baseball team when the ball players came in, Norm Camp. He wasn't a good pitcher, he wasn't a bad pitcher. I mean, everybody was good. As far as I know, when I met him, you know, everybody was going to go high. You know, we knew a lot of places that ran rooms out and eating, stuff like that. Anyway, I started playing it. And then, of course, I was a 12-year-old kid, and I knew baseball was playing in Mobile. The year before, like 51, so I said, I'd go down there, and that's when I got a whip. I didn't tell my mother or daddy or my grandpa. And about 3 o'clock after school, I went straight to Hartwell Field, and this, I didn't think anything about it. Those snot and hoppy kid, you know, didn't know anything. I said, I like to be a bad boy. He looked at me like, well, I was only 12 and weighed about 60 pounds. I said, gee, my nitty. And then one of the assistant general manager says, well, maybe the fans will like him, and you're so skinny, you could be 60 pounds soaking wet. So he gave me a job, and I started playing, you know, go out there and play baseball with the kids, you know, the ball players. Of course, in them days, I just followed the ball players. It ain't like it is now. You know, I worked in the dugout, and I did everything at 12 years old. And I didn't have a uniform, so the people next door, they had a little money. They took a collection, and about halfway during the season, they got me a uniform, and they wrote about this in the paper, not with the uniform on, but my first story. I had nothing but dungarees in there. I never worked anywhere. I didn't have a paper route. You know, you had to make a little nickels and dimes. And then I worked for a grocery store. In the winter time, about a, you know, bagging groceries at 14 years old, you know. I couldn't do anything, but at that time, I was kind of hooked on baseball, you know. And I got to know the ball players good, so that's how I really got started. But I mean, at 12 years old, you know, and when I did get home, when my dad asked for a job, my daddy says, Dr. Vance, he took a belt to me. You can't do that no more. You got to come home first before you go to the ballpark. But then, you know, and actually one day, and you may still remember this, they had a radio station on that was like ABC or CBS, but they had neutral. That was a baseball game. Yeah, for the major leagues, and I can't spell it, neutral, Cahuta, announcer was. So they picked Mobile, Alabama to do one game. And I went in, I knew it. I went to school, but then I played like I had a whooping cough or something. And I skipped. And somehow the teacher knew that I was, they had a ball game, and he knew I was a bad boy. And she said, she went to the principal and said, you played hooky. So the principal went to the baseball team. Mobile says, oh, we can't have these kids, you know, going out. And so they called the radio station in Mutual, said, well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get to school in trouble or the kid. So that's the first time I ever got thrown off a radio station. Because I played like I was sick. Because I knew the game started at 1 o'clock or 2 or something. Uh-huh. So about 11 o'clock at lunchtime, I said, I don't feel good, I'm going home. I didn't go home.
Straight to the ballpark.
Yeah, right, straight to the ballpark. And from then on, I didn't do nothing except play ball. And I remember the first, when I left, when we broke up in 1961, you know, to go to Texas, that's when the league folded. And then all the kids in my neighborhood, I didn't have a car, and they said, why don't you get a cheap car? We'll show you how to drive. So when I bought the car, about a 10-year-old car, I never drove in my life, never been to Texas in my life. I never drove out of Mobile, never drove out of the block of where I lived. So nobody came around. I had the car about 2 weeks. I said, if nobody's going to teach me, I'll do myself. So I kept driving the street off, the car off that street till April 1st. And I said, I got to go. See you later, Mom. Got to go to Texas. You know how to get to Texas? Not really. I just get on, we got a certain highway. I just give me a highway and I'm driving. And I was so excited to get out of Mobile. I went about 2 or 3 miles. And I forgot they had red lights in them towns. I ain't even got out of the city limits of Mobile. I went right through this red light. I just went to a red light. So I got to driving good speed. I wasn't driving to 80 miles an hour. But, when you cross that red light, I knew I did something wrong, so I kind of slowed up. And I did get. And the funny thing about it, I drove all the way to Texas, never had a wreck or a flat tire or nothing. I said, boy, that's pretty good. Forgot I never drove about 1,000 miles from Mobile to Dallas, Texas.
Wow. That's a cool story.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not dreaming this. I knew when I got the car and how to get to the ballpark. It took me 60 years to figure out what made me go to the ballpark to ask for a job. And the funny thing about it, I did get to go on one road trip. We took up, we was in the owner's car, so we had to drive to New Orleans. I was in the lead. We stayed in a good hotel. Well, it ain't like Taj Mahal now, but it's still operating there. Of course, they did build this motel. And then I get up the first morning. I get up and said, let's go get something to eat. I said, well, go eat that. He says, Albright Woods, I don't think you remember Albright Woods, but it's like a Walmart, not Walmart. What's the drugstore now? Everybody's got one. Walmart.
Yeah.
Some crazy drugstore. And I thought I was living a dream by drinking a cup of coffee at 12 years old in a drugstore.
Yeah.
Getting the eggs at a drugstore. In them days now, the drugstores don't sell eggs and bacon and stuff like that.
Right, right.
But it was, I might be 80 years old, but I had, that was a dream of life, once I started in baseball. My dad told me in 59, my graduate, go out and get a real job. So comes 60 years later, I still ain't got a real job.
Managed to go your whole life and not have a real job, huh?
Yeah, real job. And really, I know how this, and even when I got to the minor leagues, it was it. Nobody worked that club out except me. I had almost 200 players. I go to spring training with 200 players, and then I go to Southern League, all the different leagues. And in 1971, the last year in Charlotte, my boss came up to me on Christmas Day and said, Wayne, you're the only one who can make this work. I said, what do you mean? You're going to be in charge of two ball clubs. Huh? I kind of screamed because I knew the clubhouse only had 20 lockers. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to have 40 lockers. I said, Mr. Brophy, are you crazy? He said, no, I'll give you a raise. I said, well, okay, I tried. But I knew I was in trouble. The first game we had a double A team playing another double A team. And after that, the 2 A clubs was playing each other. So I got through about 3 o'clock in the morning. I said, I don't know what I got myself into. And then come June, we drafted Bob, but then we sent him out to spring training. But then they come up to me, they supposed to have 20 guys and I only had 20 uniforms. So they sent me about 10 or 12 guys, and the manager didn't know what to do with the guys. And general manager, he killed a lady, so we had to get a new general manager who didn't know nothing about baseball. I said, you got to call Mr. Brophy and say, hey, we we gotta get rid of some of these guys. We got 20, about 28 guys, you know, we got 20 uniforms. And he says, hey, Wayne, I don't know the new owners. I don't know who this broker guy is. I said, I went to the manager. He was getting to talk to the broker, the farm director. I said, I think you guys are crazy. And when them guys started coming, I said, you, I can't lay guys. You're leaving in the morning on the bus to 4 miles out to Melbourne with the rookies. And the general manager says, you can't do that. I'm sorry, I'm doing it. So I called Bobby. I said, all these guys up here are chicken. I got 8 guys that y'all sent me up here after the draft. And I got no room. You told me it won't be 20 guys. I got 28, 29 guys. And, well, what'd you do? I said, I told them they're going to Melbourne. Attaboy, Wayne. I knew you could do it. I didn't take no crap from these people. And, matter of fact, people writing in, sending a letter to the general manager about, they used to get free tickets. But this guy broke out, couldn't leave them tickets no more because the other guy, Mr. Hauser, he used to keep, he was there about 40 years, letting people in free. And the new guy, all he did was sell lumber or something. And he came in and did the job. They knew who he was. I knew him, but he's cutting all these taxes off. And when he makes a decision, like rain out, he came up to me and says, one day Booker was coming in town to see our team. And it's pouring down rain for 6 days in a row. And I said, what's going on? He says, well, Mr. B's coming in town. I said, you better fly, tell him to fly to Lynchburg because they're not playing night or the morning. Well, we can't do that. I said, watch me. I call up Minnesota. That's when we get Minnesota. And I said, don't be left here. He said, no. Tell him, go to Lynchburg. It's raining here. It's still underwater. How long is it going to be underwater? How long is it going to be here? 7 days. Well, I guess it'd be 7 days. We come in, and the manager says, how come we're not playing? Look at the field. It's underwater. No kidding. What are you going to do?
Wow.
That's when we had 2 teams. And one team was in Gastonia. And they get rained out, and we're playing the game. That's a week later. Now we're playing the ball game. I see these guys walking out in the hallway in the clubhouse. Coming. I said, we got rained out. We only got one field. And I got 20 ball players to use them. I said, won't y'all run down the street, the highway here? Y'all can run instead of hitting. Just run down there and get you running in. How far you want me to run? Till you get to South Carolina.
Oh, boy. You're on a roll today.
Then we had a guy, you may know him, Calvin Griffin said a nephew. Might be son, not your nephew, grandchild or something, whatever it was. He played ball with us one year. And we always played tricks on each other, played big tricks on me, this, that. So, like doing my shoes, light up my feet and everything. He put a fish in my whirlpool. So the next day, I didn't see him go out on the field, but he's coming in and he got, hitting. And I had all the newspapers. I was going to light his locker on fire. It was a wooden ballpark. And you know how wood burns. And it caught on fire. It burned his locker. And he said, Uncle Cameron's going to get mad at you. I said, no, he's going to be a rich man because he's got $25,000 life insurance on this. This clubhouse, he might give me a raise.
Yep, you're doing him a favor.
And then Bruce Haynes sees the picture. I said, all you're doing is taking another guy's job. I said, why? I said, you won 4 games this year. April, May, June, and July. You ain't won nothing in August. I said, somebody else could be doing your job. You're starting pitcher. You only won 4 games. Because he got taken out in the 7th inning. Only reason why you don't get taken out before the 7th inning, we don't have but two relief pitchers. And in them days, that's all he had was two relievers and six starters. I said, gee, man. Well, we got to be good buddies. I talk to him every now and then. He was Calvin's sister's kid.
Thelma's?
Huh?
Wasn't that Thelma?
Yeah, that's right. Thelma. See, you know baseball too. Thelma, that's Bruce's, Thelma's kid. And I remember Joe Haynes. Remember Joe Haynes?
I don't remember him too much. He died, pretty early.
Well, he was a good pitcher, but he liked to drink. So Thelma, you know, she had control of the ball club too.
Yep.
And she put Joe Haynes' desk right in front of Sherry Robinson. You might have heard of Sherry's name.
Right, right.
And he said, he might be kidding me, but I don't have to look at that drunk. And when he came to instruction league one time, and they put him back on the plane to go back to Minnesota. And by the time they got back to the hotel in St. Petersburg, he said, Dan said, what took you so long? He said, we thought we'd put you on that plane. I said, now, hell, when you left, I got off the plane and came back, got me a beer. He was a good ball player. He was what you call a, well, now he'd be a, if he was still there, he would be a big league pitcher because he pitched good. We just, you know, in them days, as you know, in the 60s and 70s or 50s, we didn't have very many good players. Remember Chuck Stops? I think he won one game and lost 15 games in a couple of years. I met him one time and said, Chuck, how come you didn't win more? Yeah, we only got one or two runs a game. I'm lucky to get one game in.